Welcome to our very first Q&A episode of the Ministry of Hemp podcast. I am so excited. We've had our Google phone number open for a little while now. You can always call it and leave a message at 402-819-6417. Funny story, when I started doing this, I was saying a slightly different number where I mixed up the numbers, and a very nice man was getting your calls. I ended up calling him and apologizing. Great guy, doesn't know anything about hemp, but thank you for being cool about that. So we've been collecting your questions about hemp, and today I am going to sit down with the editor-in-chief of ministryofhemp.com, Kit O'Connell, and we are going to answer some of your questions. Let's get into it, shall we? Kit, I appreciate you joining me today and answering some listener questions. You ready for this?
Yeah, it should be fun. I've been looking forward to coming on the show some more.
Cool. Let's get into it. We'll start right here.
Hi. I am just researching this now. My cousin has been a nurse. She's just retired, a nurse all her life, and she's taking CBD oil or tincture. I'm not sure what the difference is yet. But she's taking 3.3 milligrams a day, I believe, or per serving. And so as I'm going through your bottles, I'm seeing, 300 to 1,000 to 2,500 whatever in a 30 milliliter bottle. So in a 30 milliliter bottle, is that to be taken twice a day? And how many days would that last? Would that be a 30-day amount? Anyway, I'm just kind of trying to figure out the difference between tincture, oil, how many servings a person normally would take. I have I had to quit taking naproxen, which was helping me from the arthritis in my back and neck, and so that's mainly what I'm trying to find something for. And so what would be best for that? And then also the full spectrum versus the isolate, kind of trying to find out more detailed information on what those two forms offer. My name is Christina.
I'll cut her off there so she doesn't give away anything personal. So Christina, basically, she's breaking it down. Let's go one by one. She wants to know the difference between an oil and a tincture. She's curious about dosage. She's worried about other drug complications and a little bit on full spectrum versus isolate. What do you think, Kit?
Cool.
Oil versus tincture.
Let's start with oil versus tincture. Good point. So this is a kind of a funny thing with the way the industry is right now. Classically speaking, an oil is where you have the hemp extract in an oil, like hemp oil or coconut oil. MCT oil is the really common one. Whereas a tincture would theoretically be the extract mixed with alcohol. What you're finding today, though, is that most products on the market are what we would call an oil, but they're using the term oil and tincture interchangeably.
Oh.
So it's a little bit confusing. There are some actual tinctures out there where it's alcohol plus CBD or hemp extract, and you should try those and see if they help. But most of the time, you're going to buy an oil, though sometimes it's going to be labeled a tincture.
So the oils are really beneficial because the hemp like actually bonds to the fats in the oil, and that's what carries through and where you get the benefits from CBD, right?
That's true, but alcohol also can have a similar effect. Alcohol has fats in it or anyway can bind with the cannabinoids in a similar way to the fats in an oil. But so it's kind of a more old-fashioned way of doing an extract.
Sure.
And it's obviously going to have a much stronger flavor. You're taking something that's made with essentially like grain alcohol.
Oh.
So it's going to taste like doing a plant-filled shot of Everclear. So it's not a very pleasant.
So go with the oil is what you're saying.
Yeah, stick with the oil if flavor is your thing. But some people do find that traditional tincture is helpful. So, investigate.
So what about dosage for an adult like her? She was saying that like her sister was taking 3 milligrams a day, which seems pretty low.
Yeah, you know, we recommend everybody kind of start with a low dosage and sort of see what happens for them. We don't usually give specific amounts just because everybody is so different.
Right.
And they react so differently. You know, we're going to recommend starting with one of those lower strength CBDs, like a 300 milligram bottle, and taking, you know, some every day. You know, try it before bed just in case there's one of those people that makes you feel sleepy.
Sure.
You know, start with a quarter dropper, a half dropper, or a full dropper. It's hard to even kind of guess. But to start with a reasonable small amount and see how that feels for, you know, a week or two and see what that does for you. And then you can increase. You know, I sometimes take CBD two or three times a day, but I know that I'm somebody who can, you know, handle a lot and can benefit from a relatively high dose. Whereas some people that might leave them feeling, you know, a little out of it or sleepy or just be more than they need to take for the benefits that they're looking for.
Yeah, I know I started with like about a quarter of a dropper a day. And that seemed like it was starting to work. And so I went up to a quarter twice a day and that worked for me. When I went like half twice a day, I was a little loosey-goosey. I didn't feel like sleepy or anything, but I was a little more loosey-goosey than sure. I wanted to be. So other drug complications, as I understand it, you're pretty much safe there. You don't really need to worry about complications.
So for the most part, that's true. You should obviously always talk to your doctor.
Sure.
One thing that's been discussed recently in a couple articles, we haven't gotten anything about this on our site yet, but I've been talking to some medical experts and I've been planning to do that. So this is a little complicated, but there's a number of drugs out there. Some, I believe some heart medications, definitely some antidepressants and kind of similar stuff to that, where they tell you to avoid grapefruit.
Really?
Because grapefruit can kind of slow the absorption of the drug in your system.
Huh.
And you might end up with more than you want in your blood.
Makes
now, one thing is that theoretically, CBD might do something similar to those drugs. Now, when I say theoretically, what I mean is that connection is very well documented with grapefruit. It's not that well documented yet in everyday CBD users. If you look up the medical research on CBD, you're going to find that in the labs, they're using extremely high doses. We're talking like 100, 150 milligrams or more daily, maybe even more than that. And at those extremely high doses, they found some worrying interactions with the kind of same class of drugs that are affected by grapefruit. Whether that's something that's going to happen when you're taking 10 milligrams a day, I'm not going to say because I don't really know. And the experts at this point don't really know either. So that's something that hasn't been publicized a lot. So many people are taking CBD that it's hard to say that it's a very widespread problem because we're not really hearing about it
right.
in the end user yet. But it's definitely something to be aware of. And that's kind of the main interaction that we know about. But again, you know, talk to your doctor because there could be stuff that's just starting to come out. And we're definitely planning on covering that topic in the near future because it is kind of important.
Now, full spectrum versus isolate.
Sure. So what happens is when they extract from the hemp plant, they get all kinds of chemicals and stuff in there, natural compounds. And they filter out certain stuff that just doesn't benefit people, like chlorophyll. But then different types of extract are going to leave different amounts of these other compounds in them. So CBD is what everyone's heard about and is like, you know, considered the main beneficial compound in hemp extract. But in a full spectrum, you're also going to find tiny, tiny, tiny trace amounts of THC, less than 0.03%. You're also going to find other cannabinoids like CBA or CBDA, CBN. You've talked about that a little bit on your program recently.
So definitely.
Full spectrum leaves the terpenes and all the cannabinoids intact. And some people find that that is more beneficial. It's not a proven thing yet, and plenty of people are also getting benefit from isolates. So we kind of recommend trying both. If you're, you know, on a budget and this stuff is expensive, you know, I would try the full spectrum first. But isolates sometimes are less expensive, so there's nothing wrong with giving those a shot and seeing if they help you.
Yeah, there could be one isolate in a full spectrum that is the one that you want, and you can find it basically by throwing some darts at a dartboard.
That's true. Yeah. Although we're mostly just seeing, of course, the CBD isolate. We're not really starting to see that many of the other cannabinoids getting pulled out just by themselves yet. Although I think we're heading in that direction. Some people have told me about those kinds of products being on the horizon. So that should be pretty interesting.
Cool. Christine, thanks for your question. I hope that helps. Let's move along to question number two.
Hey, how's it going? I was just wondering if I smoked CBD hemp flowers, if I could pass a drug test, if it's under 0.3% THC.
It's a great question. So he's smoking CBD hemp flowers and he's worried about a drug test.
That's a tough one.
Right?
You know, in a perfect world, you'd be fine because, you know, legally, hemp flower is fully legal under the, you know, the Farm Act. It's even like, it's interesting actually here in Texas where I am, that they just passed some hemp regulations and they specifically said hemp flower was fine to own or even smoke. So that's becoming a really common product that people are finding on the market. As far as the drug testing though, it's complicated. If you're below 0.03% THC, in theory, it should not show up on a drug screening, but we have heard reports from people who are, it has shown up on them.
It depends what screening it is, right?
Fought because she lost an EMT job because she was taking CBD, and she failed a drug screening. So what happens is that some of these tests are really imprecise.
Right.
And so some of them can't tell the difference between THC and other cannabinoids. It's just, you know, if your job or your livelihood or your organ transplant or your possession of, you know, your child support arrangements depend on that, I wouldn't, you know, chance it. We just can't guarantee it.
Yeah, right now. Especially, I would assume it also depends on what kind of tests they're doing, how sensitive it is. Like you said, are they looking for THC or just cannabinoids, period? There's just too many questions unless you know exactly what the test is. Also, what strain you're smoking and, you know, is there less than 0.03% THC in it as well?
That's right. There's not a regulatory board right now that's, you know, testing every form of flower that you buy in those markets. So there's really no way to guarantee that you're not, you know, you can hopefully check the third party lab results for the manufacturer, but unfortunately we've even seen situations where those were like faked, or more accurately what happens is they, you know, they'll publish an old result from a previous batch, but the current batch is actually high THC. Just no way to be sure.
Yeah, it's kind of Wild West right now, so play it safe, basically. Okay, yeah. Next question here.
Hello, my name is Jim Case. I have multiple myeloma. A lot of the damage was done to my spine. And I lost 4 inches in my height.
Oh, wow.
So I have chronic pain in my lower back. I'm looking for a high-potency CBD oil. I do not want hemp oil. It has to be CBD oil. So if you could help me out finding a company that manufactures the pure CBD oil and gives information about potency.
Okay, so I think he might have a definition problem here. Am I right? When he's saying it can't be hemp oil, it has to be CBD oil.
So I think yeah, it is. It's another one of those confusing issues because CBD oil is also sometimes referred to as hemp extract.
Right.
And of course, there's also hemp seed oil out there, which is just like olive oil where they've pressed the hemp seeds to make a like an oil that's like for cooking or nutritional purposes. I think what he's asking is he might be looking for a CBD isolate versus full spectrum. That's my best guess based on that. So we're actually working on an article that we're hoping to come out later this month that's going to be about high potency CBD extract. So that means, like we were talking about in the previous call, a lot of them say are like 300 milligrams per 30 milliliters. For this article, we're looking at looking at products that are at least 1,500 milligrams per 30 milligram bottle. So that's not really for beginners, but some people know that they use a lot or their particular conditions just require very high doses. And that can be a very economical thing then for people like that.
Right. And it sounds like he's in an amazing amount of pain too with what he went through. So he might need something a lot stronger.
Exactly. That would totally make sense for someone like that. So with this article coming out later this month, we've got a handful, probably about a dozen different products, but and most of those are going to be full spectrum, meaning that they're going to have all the different cannabinoids in them. But if he is looking for just an isolate that's very high strength, One brand that we're including in that article that we love is from Medterra, M-E-D-T-E-R-R-A, Medterra. And they actually have a bottle that's 3,000 milligrams per 30 milliliters, and that's just CBD isolate.
Wow. So that's going to be excellent for somebody with like the back pain that he's experiencing. I would think something
for
like that would be great.
For people who need a really high dose to knock out whatever they're feeling and find out that that really is helping them. Yeah. And if they want the isolate, then the Medterra is a great choice. If you're choosing between isolate and full spectrum, keep an eye out for that article a little later this month in a week or two, because we're going to have a whole bunch of great choices in there.
Great. Okay. Let's get our final audio question, and then I'm going to read you one. Here we go.
I'm trying to find the best hemp oil for pain. I have a slipped disc that started about 4 days ago, and I have some CBD oil here, and it don't seem to be doing much at all. I'd like to have a recommendation on the best CBD vape oil for pain. Thank you.
So he doesn't say that he is vaping right now, but he did say he has an oil. It sounds to me like he wants to try a vape instead of an oil, maybe? In that case, can you think of any that would work really well for pain?
So, you know, one thing is, you know, again, everybody's different, but some people do report that vaping can for them be a very immediate way to feel the effects of CBD. So that may be one reason he's interested in that.
And correct me if I'm wrong, but vaping hits you faster, but it doesn't last as long as, say, like taking an oil.
That's probably what most people would report. Yeah, okay. That an oil is going to be great for that long-lasting effect. The vape might be a faster way to offer immediate relief from whatever you're reporting, pain. Another thing we hear is a lot of people who suffer from anxiety find that vaping is a really immediate way to like cut through those difficult feelings that they're having.
Right.
We don't necessarily recommend, again, like a specific brand for any particular condition, because again, people are so different and different kinds of pain are very different. I, you know, have chronic pain myself. I really like, there's a, one of our top brands, if you go to that part of our site, has a combination CBD, CBDA tincture that I really feel like is good for the inflammation I deal with, a brand called Life Patent, but that, I don't know if I know they're planning on marketing a vape, but I don't know if they're doing that in a vape yet.
That sounds like it could be really good for a slip disc too, because he's obviously dealing with inflammation. Inflammation.
It could be. So that's something to look into. You know, generally recommend just trying some different brands. If you go to our top brands page, we do list several that have vapes. Our advice for pain, we did recently publish an article on picking the right CBD for pain. We'll make sure to put that in the show notes. But the advice is not that different than what we advise other for any condition, which is basically to look for brands that are clear about their labeling, that are transparent about the ingredients and the manufacturing methods. And for a vape, that's extra important because there's some weird additives they try to slip into vapes.
Yeah, definitely.
We want to make sure there's third-party lab tests. And then, you know, experiment with the isolates and with the full spectrum with different ways of taking it. So that's kind of what we recommend. So I would, you know, look in our show notes for that article on chronic pain and how to shop for that. One thing I do want to bring up too, and this is a touchy subject, but you know, CBD is not a miracle cure. It doesn't help everybody. Mm-hmm. And there are some people out there who also find that the combination of CBD and THC, which of course is the active ingredient in psychoactive cannabis or marijuana, that those two together are really the powerhouse that cuts their pain. But of course, a lot of people aren't in legal states or they're where their lives are. They can't consume, you know, THC cannabis.
Sure,
so
sure.
I want to mention that, but obviously that's not going to work for everybody.
No. And I will say, like, as someone who dealt with chronic pain in my hands and whatnot, I use CBD and THC in it, and it works very well for me. Now that's a choice that I'm making and I'm allowed to do so because my work doesn't have a problem with it, but not everybody's in that same position. So got to be careful there.
And one thing I want to toss out there that's good for any of these people looking for advice, you know, obviously you can come search our site, you know, and look for information, but we also really like if you go onto the CBD subreddit, so that's just reddit.com/r/CBD. There's a great little community there where people are like offering advice. So you can ask questions or you can just search, like for example, would this caller search CBD slipped disc and see what other people are doing and what they recommend. It's a really friendly space. It doesn't have some of that hostility you might find elsewhere on that website. And
Reddit? Hostile? What is this?
Right? Yeah. So right. It's a good resource that we use all the time, and we're always telling people to go check out the CBD subreddit, see if someone else there has had a similar experience to yours.
Great. That was an excellent question, too. I like that one. And I think it's cool that we're dealing with a couple different types of pain and a couple different ways to approach it. And again, we're not doctors here. We're not giving out medical advice. But, I mean, we're all learning together, and we're here to help. So our last question comes in from email. It says, Matt, I've been reading and searching for answers centered around cannabis and end products of cannabis, including hemp and marijuana products. Mostly, I've been attempting to get a handle on the confusion over the cannabis family of plants and the mixed up regulations concerning the end products. Yeah, you and everybody else. I credit the FDA and media for much of the ongoing confusion, and I totally agree with them there too. I have very much appreciated reading your web blog and articles online. Okay, I don't do those. I just do the show. So Kit's the one that's doing most of those. Across the world, all plants are products of the soil they are growing in. I feel there's a great need to control and know how and where our crops of cannabis are growing. Is the soil overused, fertilized, and fertilized with what? And where is the location grown? Soil in Wisconsin, Florida, and Arizona are very different, quote, organically. Is there a plan to protect our new farmers and our source of cannabis from damaged or depleted soil? Aside from the potential accidental tainting of these soils, there are areas of Mother Earth that have been previously contaminated, landfills, dumps, etc. We always rotated our crops and had greater success than most of our neighbor farmers. We rarely fertilized or treated. I think he's talking about someone else is saying this kind of stuff. As I understand things, cannabis is a plant that is known to draw a great volume of nutrients from the soil, much like ginseng. An article I read about ginseng several years ago told me that ginseng crop will strip the soil of nutrients to the level that the soil needs to rest for several years before it can be reused for the same crop, creating a great need for crop rotation. I'm confident that not all plants reach this radical usage of nutrients, but cannabis seems to come close. Sincerely, Dale. So basically, he's saying he's worried that a lot of farms may not be taking care of the plant themselves or the soil that they're in. And those that are, he's worried that they may be stripping nutrients directly, way too many nutrients from the soil, which I've kind of heard the opposite from some of the people I have interviewed on the show.
So it's, you know, one thing that is a really good point that he's making is that hemp is what they call a bioaccumulator. Mm-hmm. And so that means that hemp is extremely good at absorbing toxins and heavy metals from the soil. And that's actually really cool because they've used it, for example, some areas around Chernobyl have even used it to clean up their soil. But obviously, if I plant hemp near Chernobyl to clean up my soil, I don't want to eat or take CBD made from that hemp later.
For reasons that should be obvious, yes.
Yeah.
We all saw the show on HBO. It was horrifying.
Oh, my gosh. I couldn't even watch that one.
Oh, my God.
I heard all that from my spouse. I got the highlights reel, and that was horrible enough. But yeah, obviously, most soil is not going to be like that. But there is a real risk, and that's why we're always recommending that our – you know, consumers, because of course we're mostly dealing with the consumer end of things on our site, but we do talk to the farmers, but we always tell consumers to make sure that the hemp products that you grow, if you're going to eat it or consume it or put it on your body, like a topical, that it's made in good, clean soil, you know, that is grown in responsible ways.
Right. It's kind of the same for anything that you're going to grow or eat, right? I mean, you want to make sure that it's coming from a good place and from good soil, and they're not using a bunch of toxic pesticides and whatnot.
I think it is, yeah. And I mean, as far as like the other issue with like the nutrient use, you know, one thing if you look at the traditional use of hemp, pre-prohibition eras when it was grown like all over the colonial United States, they would grow it in a lot of fields that were not really being used for other purposes, that weren't being easily able to be used for other crops.
Right.
So it's obviously not something that requires the best, most rich, most perfect soil. But I think, you know, it may be more intensive than other crops in that way. I've certainly heard that it's somewhat more water intensive than some crops. It's not like as much as like almonds by any means. But
no.
It is a water intensive crop.
Yeah, I talked to Josh Hendricks back in episode 3, and he's a farmer in Kentucky, and he was saying that hemp is one of those plants that actually leaves the soil better than it is than it was because it doesn't use as much nitrogen as a lot of other plants like soy or corn and whatnot. It is water heavy, but it's also not water heavy like you said, like almonds or even corn on that level. Now, I haven't heard that it strips as much nutrients out as something like ginseng, which leaves farmland toasted for years after you've grown on it. But I mean, like anything, you have to rotate crops, period. It's just the right way to farm.
I think this is something, you know, this is a really good point. I'm glad that Dale wrote in about this, because something I always like to emphasize with just about any part of the hemp industry, whether we're talking about growing hemp or making plastic from it, you know, hemp is such a miraculous plant. We can do so much with it, but it has to be part of a solution where we're fixing all kinds of other destructive things we're doing to the earth. And so that does mean, you know, rotating crops, being conscious about how we feed our plants and what fertilizers we use, how much fertilizer, and, you know, how we mediate our water use, and all these kinds of issues of sustainable agriculture. And hemp can be part of that, but it's not just a magic bullet. You can't just plant hemp and expect all your problems to go away.
Right. I just talked to Peter Page in the last episode, actually, from Green Entrepreneur, and he wrote an article about how these farmers have come to the FDA, and there's all these discussions of how we're going to do this state by state. And one of the things they're most concerned about is that we make sure that hemp is an American crop because we can control how that crop is grown. And we can say it needs to be grown the right way without certain pesticides. It needs to be grown in certain clean soils and stuff. So we're not importing, you know, junk hemp coming from questionable places. And that is one thing we don't know yet, but I'm hoping the FDA really does take that into account and say, yes, this should be a uniquely American crop. And we have a chance, unlike a lot of other crops, to say, this is how we're going to do this from now going forward, as opposed to a lot of food crops, which have been grown forever and have been allowed to be grown a certain way, whether it's strawberries or corn. We started growing that a long time ago. Hemp's been illegal for 75 years, 75 something. Now we have a really unique chance to say, we're going to grow this and grow it the right way. And I sincerely hope the FDA pushes that issue.
I think, yeah, we're weighing not just on the FDA right now, but also the USDA.
Yes.
So I really hope that both of those agencies look at what the best practices are and even study what the worst practices are in the industry right now.
Yeah, no doubt.
And find something better. I also just, you know, this is kind of related. We do hear from hemp farmers pretty often about how do I get into this? And the best piece of advice is just really, really make a strong plan. Plan every aspect of what you're going to do, from growing it to how you're going to sell it. And how you're going to, you know, maintain your soil health and all those things before you put that seed in the ground. One example that we don't want to model in the U.S. as we move into this is, you know, Canada actually legalized hemp back in the 90s. But what they saw was that so many farmers just threw themselves into it without a plan of how to sell the products when they were finished, how to sell those crops, that there would end up being just all this spoiled, unsold hemp. And so, you know, part of being more responsible is just making sure we have a plan as we're starting into this.
Yeah, we want to have enough, but not a glut, basically.
Exactly.
So we're not sitting on piles of soybeans, for example. Mm-hmm. Kit, you have been excellent today. Thank you so much, man. And you can read Kit's stuff over at Ministry of Hemp. He's the editor-in-chief there. He's a fantastically smart guy, as you can tell, and I appreciate you coming in here and making me not look like a dummy. Thank you.
No, this was fun. I hope, you know, keep calling in with your questions so we can do this again.
Most definitely. This was such a great time. Thanks, Kit. Thanks again to everybody that called in today. This is exactly what I pictured, and I would love to do more of these shows every once in a while, so keep your calls coming. 402-819-6417. And you can always find that phone number in the show notes for every show. I also have a link to the subreddit about CBD that Kit had mentioned. And of course, a full written transcript of the show too. If you're digging on this show and the information that we are handing out, please leave us a review over at iTunes or leave us a star on your favorite streaming service. It helps with searches and it helps to put this information in front of other people that might not know where to go to get it. Remember to check ministryofhemp.com every day, where Kit is constantly posting all manner of important information related to CBD and all things hemp. And as always, remember to take care of yourself, take care of others, and make good choices, will you? This is Matt Baum and the Ministry of Hemp, signing off.